Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Mohammed Mirandi. Mohammed's been on before. He's associate professor at the University of Tehran. He also chairs the North American Studies Program. For sure, we want to talk about what's going on in the region. And there's one country that's at the center of the storm. I simply can't stop writing about it. One article after another. We can see what's coming. It's a horrific situation. And as usual, I like to repeat all the time that all wars, with no exceptions, are based on lies. And I like to call them big lies, with a capital B and a capital L. And it sure applies to all the wars that America wages with its allies, you know, the usual ones. Well, it looks like they won't have one of the usual ones this time. Britain's Parliament did a very unusual thing. I can't remember any time in the modern past, in my memory, where the British Parliament said no to supporting a U.S. war. Mohammed, can you remember the British Parliament doing anything like that?
No, it is quite extraordinary. I don't think anyone here was expecting it, although it should be expected because only a decade ago, the United States and its allies invaded Iraq through dishonesty, and ultimately they destroyed the country. Right now, today, apparently, the United States, the Obama administration, the United States government wants to declassify its evidence, its so-called evidence that the Syrian government was behind the attacks. And it reminds one of Colin Powell's presentation at the UN Security Council, which was simply a presentation of fabricated information in order to fool the general public into accepting an illegal invasion of Iraq. And this time around, though, I don't know anyone who actually believes the United States. And this is true in England, it's true in France, it's true in the United States itself. The public is completely against the war, and I think this itself shows how societies have matured over the last decade.
Mohammed is an astonishing figure. There are polls that are being shown in various countries in Europe, in the Middle East, and in America. And in America, a poll showed the sum total of 9%, 9% support for attacking Syria at the height of the anti-war protests back in the 1960s, early 1970s. Support for the Vietnam War, I think it was pretty high at the beginning. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but back at the height of the anti-war anger about that war, support for the war was about 30%. The same thing was true about the Iraq War. Initial support for it, it began waning, and the lowest number was about 30%. So those two wars that became very unpopular, 30% support, and before anything against Syria even begins, 9% support. I think that's an absolutely unprecedented number, and it shows to me that Americans are sick and tired of being lied to. They're sick and tired of wars one after another. Doesn't matter. It's very easy to invent enemies, and this stuff just goes on and on and on, and it's coming at a time where there's a very serious economic crisis in America. Unemployment's at 23%. The official numbers are bald-faced lies, just the way we see lies stated about what the Syrian government has done. And people are going out on the streets. They were in Times Square yesterday. There are going to be a lot of protests across America over the weekend, Mohammed, and people are chanting, in New York they were chanting things like, we want jobs, we want jobs, we don't want war, we want jobs. And they're holding up signs that are very, very anti-war. So we see this stuff happening. I don't know the numbers are that great, and the anti-war Vietnam protests took years before the Congress ever did anything about it, and they finally cut off the funding, and Nixon was very unpopular, Mohammed, so the combination of both those things finally got the war to end. But a decade, I'll mention this, let you jump back in, a decade after then Secretary of Defense, oh my goodness, what the devil's the guy's name? Secretary of Defense in 1965? Oh, McNamara, Robert McNamara. How could I forget his name? I've quoted him in previous articles. I quoted him for his book, and I can't recall the title of his book, but I quoted directly from the book. And he said, in 1965, he told Lyndon Johnson that the war cannot be done. It could not be won. He was very, very explicit. He said, no matter what we do to these people, they're going to keep fighting. We could fight them for another year, another decade. It's not going to end. And Lyndon Johnson consulted his former senator, majority leader. He consulted his best friend in the Senate, Richard Russell, and he said, "What am I going to do if I fight this war? I can't win it, and if I stop it, they're going to impeach me." And Russell was an old wise hand in the Senate. He basically told Johnson, "I don't know what the hell to tell you." It's your problem, Lyndon. It's not mine. My point is, it took a decade. It took a whole decade after Johnson and McNamara and the rest of the bunch in Washington knew there was no possibility to win the Vietnam War before the Congress, which had a lot more respectable, they never were that good, but they had a cast of characters that at least had some decent people in it who realized that you can't keep this thing going forever, and they decided to end the war, and they did it the easy way. You cut off the funding, the war ends. They gave the administration so much time to get the troops out of there, get them home, gave them so many months, but the war did end, and it was Nixon after Johnson then, and the war ended up killing Johnson. That's another story altogether. But we see the same thing repeating again and again: Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and now it's Syria, Mohammed.
I agree. But one thing that we have to keep in mind is that in the 2003 invasion of Iraq, at least in Britain, the overwhelming majority of people were opposed to war. The same was true across Europe, but Britain actually was involved in the war itself. And despite the fact that up to 2.5 million people protested in London, which is something, protests in London are rare anyhow, but 2.5 million people was completely unprecedented. Still, the British regime at the time went to war. So the important thing really is that people have to show not only the opposition, but they have to press hard to prevent the government from attacking. The United States government, the last decade or so has been disastrous for American foreign policy. They've created hatred across the globe for constantly invading one country after another. The only reason why Obama was welcomed by so many people was because they thought that he would be, many people, not all, many were skeptical, but many were optimistic that he would change the United States and bring it towards a more peaceful foreign policy agenda. But unfortunately, the United States now is dragging the country, which is facing, as you pointed out, economic crisis, into another war. It's trying to prevent the monitors, the inspectors in Syria, from presenting their case. The reason is because the United States knows that there's no real evidence to show that the Syrian government was behind the attacks. The Syrian government has no incentive to carry out chemical attacks. Over the past few months, they've been winning all the battles. They've regained a very large amount of territory from the rebels. And, of course, the rebels are being led by al-Qaeda and the extremists. And, any attack by the United States would, in fact, be helping al-Qaeda, which is one of the ironies of the world that we live in. But in any case, the Syrian government has no incentive because they were winning the battle, so why would they carry out a gas attack to bring the United States into, drag it into the war. The Al-Qaeda militants are the ones who have the incentive to carry out this sort of attack. And because of all the atrocities that they've committed, you know, they eat people's hearts, as we've seen on videos on the internet. They cut people's heads off. These are the sort of people who would carry out such crimes. And in addition, why would the Syrian government carry out such an attack at a time when UN inspectors for chemical weapons were actually in the country? And thirdly, an important note is that in the past, when these chemical weapons were used, sarin, UN inspectors such as Carlos Del Ponte pointed out that these were, it's almost certain that the rebels used these chemical weapons. So the rebel, and they've never, of course, the United States never bombed the rebels. So in the past, the rebels were using these weapons, but the United States is blaming the government. The rebels are losing the war, but the United States is blaming the Syrian government. The Syrian government had just brought in UN monitors for chemical weapons. Why would, you know, and so they would allow, they would carry out an attack while UN monitors are in Syria. It's obvious that this is just a fabrication, and the United States simply wants to kill Syrian government troops and government supporters to reestablish a balance of power in Syria to the benefit of Al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, and other extremists.
Indeed so, Mohammed. And I'd like to believe that maybe we're getting to a point where more and more, especially Americans, because Americans are the most out-of-touch people I know. I think there are people in Dakar, Africa, with no internet connections, maybe don't have access to the kind of publications that people in America and the West get on a regular basis. And they understand better what's going on than Americans, who are more obsessed with the bread and circus nonsense that they spend all their time on, and they turn on their television set that spews propaganda at them and certainly doesn't deliver any real news and information. And this is what they rely on to find out what's going on, if they even pay any attention to it in the first place. And when big lies are repeated over and over again, it sinks into their skulls and they believe it, and they usually go along with this stuff. But if there's something going on now percolating below the radar, where more and more people are awakening to the fact that their government lies to them repeatedly over and over again, and the idea that every single war that America is waging, just not just the ones they remember, most of them don't remember the Vietnam War, let alone the Korean War or World War II, and they certainly don't take the time to read about them, but all of these wars, even World War II and World War I, were both waged on lies, and neither one of them had to be waged, but they were, and tens of millions of deaths later, nobody learned anything. They just go back and they wage more wars, Mohammed, and this stuff goes on forever. I'd love to live to see the day when Americans especially just decide that they know the dirty game and they're not going to put up with it. And as soon as they hear the stuff again, not now, not 2.5 years later after America went to proxy war against Syria, not wait 2.5 years, but right away, right out of the box, take a strong stand against this stuff and just whack it down as soon as it sprouts up. If that could happen and really remain sustained, then we could end this ugliness once and for all. I think it could happen, Mohammed, but I don't see it. I certainly don't see it yet, but I never lose hope, and I really do hope I'll see it one day.
Yes, I think it's very important for ordinary Americans to recognize that no one dislikes American freedoms, if there are any freedoms in the United States, because after what we saw with Snowden, Edward Snowden, and Manning, and the revelations of what the United States government is doing and how it's spying on its own people and how human rights violations are being carried out how they were carried out in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and the crimes against humanity that were committed by the U.S. government. And of course, the WikiLeaks documents that were revealed, if you recall, one was a helicopter attack on innocent civilians in Baghdad, which was classified, and no one was ever punished for that attack. But in any case, if in the United States people do have freedoms, no one was really bothered by American freedoms. People in West Asia or what's often called the Middle East and North Africa, they have no problem with Brazil. They have no problem with Argentina, which are Christian countries. They have no problem with Latin America. They have no problem with the Chinese. They have no problem with India. The problem is with the United States and a number of its allies, and it's basically because these countries constantly support dictatorships. They carry out coup d'etats. They invade one country after another. They turn people, they support the most ruthless and barbaric regimes like Saudi Arabia, which has no elections, in which women cannot have independent bank accounts, where women cannot drive. And they support Saudi Arabia with its extremist ideology. The Al-Qaeda ideology comes from Wahhabism, which comes from Saudi Arabia. So the United States supports Qatar and Saudi Arabia and other dictatorships. They allow them to fund Al-Qaeda in Syria. They allow them to fund extremists in Libya. Yet the United States does not support elections in Egypt. It does not support elections or revolution in Tunisia, nor did it support it in Yemen. So the United States has always been a deterrent, out there to deter democracy in this part of the world, to deter human dignity, independence, and freedom. And if it had behaved in a different way, the people of this region would have welcomed the United States and other European countries. There's no reason why they should dislike the United States. But the problem is that the United States has conducted itself in such a horrific way. And this has only intensified over the past decade, not only with Afghanistan and the tragedy of Iraq, where a million Iraqis were slaughtered, both in the war and another million during the sanctions during the Clinton years, but also now we see that Libya has collapsed, it's falling apart. Egypt is devastated. The United States played both sides in Egypt and is unwilling to criticize the army in Egypt for killing 1,000 people in one day. Just a few weeks ago, 1,000 people, peaceful demonstrators, were killed on the streets of Cairo. And the United States did nothing. And here, let's pretend that the Syrian government was behind the gas attacks. Maybe 100 people, 200 people were killed. There, 1,000 were killed. The United States government had no problem with the army. Here, although the Syrian government, all the evidence shows that it was the Western-backed extremists that carried out the attack, but still, assuming that the Syrian government was behind it, the United States now wants to bomb Syria. So the hypocrisy of the U.S. government is extraordinary, and this is only going to create further hatred towards the United States, and it will the price will be paid not only by innocent people in Syria and in the region, but also in the long run and in the short run, ordinary Americans will suffer, because it will only make the global economy worse. It will make the situation for the United States worse, and ordinary people in the United States who are suffering and who have no jobs are going to find life just that much more difficult.
They sure will. Again, there's no doubt about it, and we can see it happening. I mean, I can see it when I walk out on the street in Chicago, in an area that certainly isn't downscale, and you can see people on the main streets close to where I live, people that are desperate for any kind of help they can get. They sit there in all kinds of weather. In summer, it's not so hot, but in wintertime and freezing cold weather, they sit there with a sign saying, "I am homeless," something to that effect, and they're asking people to help them in any way. Give me a dime, give me a quarter, give me a dollar, give me anything you can give me. And they're all over the place. It's not just one or two. I mean, I can walk down a main street, I can walk down a side street. It's the economic deprivation that's harming so many people. The richest country in the world, and a city like Chicago on a main street with fancy shops and the rest of it, and you get people saying, "Give me a dime or a quarter because I don't have, I don't have a place to live. All I want to do is be able to get myself a meal. It really is a testimony to the contempt that America has for doing what's right and the absolute obsession it has for going out of its way to do what's wrong. And there's nothing more wrong than waging war on humanity, as I like to call it, Mohammed. And that's indeed what it is when you wage one war after another, all based on lies. I call that waging war on humanity, and it literally threatens humanity's survival. They keep this up long enough, and if Russia and China or both of them ever get involved, I've quoted and mentioned on this program, I quoted Hyman Rickover, the father of the U.S. nuclear navy, telling Congress in the 1980s that nations, when they go to war with each other, if they have to, they'll use every single weapon they have. That's what they do to survive. It's the history of the world in wars. Nations use everything they have to survive. I mean, we have nuclear weapons. If they start treating these things like king-size hand grenades, it's curtains for humanity. And that's the threat that really exists out there, and nobody pays any attention. They're willing to take that kind of a risk, and if you take that kind of a risk and take it often enough, I think there's a very bad ending coming.
Yes, and I think, one of the, hypocrisies that we also see is that the United States in Iraq and in other countries has used depleted uranium. It has used Agent Orange. The Israeli regime has used white phosphorus, and I think the United States government has as well. These are chemical agents. So these, Agent Orange or depleted uranium is fine. But in the case of Syria, assuming that the Syrian government was behind this attack and all the evidence shows that it was the Western-backed extremists, the Takfiris, as they're called, why double standards here? On the other hand, we just received information, everyone, we've all seen that documents have been released that show that the CIA and the U.S. government knew that and helped Saddam Hussein use chemical weapons against Iran, against Iranian soldiers, civilians, and Iraqi civilians. The United States helped Saddam Hussein use those weapons. At the same time, if you look at the WikiLeaks documents, we see that at the time, the U.S. government was telling its diplomats to blame Iran for the chemical attacks. So while the U.S. government was telling its diplomats to blame Iran for the attacks, the U.S. was helping Iraq, Saddam Hussein, to carry out the attacks. These are crimes against humanity and hypocrisy at an unprecedented scale. Here we sort of see history repeating itself. The United States is helping these al-Qaeda extremists that will one day turn against the United States, that will one day very soon turn against Europeans, because that's the nature of these groups. You can't isolate extremism. You cannot train tens of thousands of crazy extremists with Saudi Arabian money and, the most extreme ideology and have them only kill the people you want them to kill. They will turn against the United States, the Europeans, other people across the globe. And, the United States has only itself to blame for this. But at the end of the day, we see that history is repeating itself. The United States is supporting these extremists. It seems that these extremists were behind the attacks because they are the only ones who have the incentive, yet the government is being blamed. So now what will happen is that every time the extremists know that from now on, every time they carry out a gas attack, the government will be bombed by the United States and its allies. So the Americans are actually creating greater incentive for crimes against humanity for the extremists to carry out further chemical attacks, and they have done so in the past, as Carla DePonte of the UN has pointed out. And therefore, the Syrian people will only suffer more and more. The extremists will carry out the attacks, and the United States will bomb the government in response.
Yeah, that's exactly true, Mohammed. In an article that I'm working on for tomorrow, I quote information published on a website called Mint Press News, M-I-N-T Press News, and they quote people in the Ghouta, Syria area, the community, saying that Saudi Arabia, and they specifically named Prince Banda from Saudi Arabia, was responsible for giving these chemical agents to Al-Nusra fighters, these extremist fighters, these are the kind of people that commit gruesome atrocities. They gave them to them. And at the same time, they said, they described how they were in, that they were in tubes. They just didn't look like weapons. They looked different than other kind of weapons. They didn't know what they had, they claimed. And they claimed that they weren't told anything about them, and some kind of an error was made that caused the huge explosion. I don't know whether that was true or not. I can't imagine getting something so dangerous and so toxic that whoever gave it to you wouldn't say, well, this is what you're supposed to do with it. I mean, are you supposed to put it in a gun and fire it? Are you supposed to throw it at somebody? I mean, you have to know how to use the darn thing. You can't just have something and have no idea what to do with it. So they had to have been given some kind of instruction. And apparently some of these al-Nusra fighters were killed along with the civilians who were killed. But the finger was pointed at Saudi Arabia and specifically at Prince Bandar, and I'm not the least bit surprised if that's exactly what happened.
Yes, and one of the points about the article that you allude to in Mint Press is that one of the authors is actually writes for Associated Press. And it's not as if these are very mainstream writers. Yet, this sort of information is going to be ignored in the mainstream press in the United States, because the New York Times, the Washington Post, and all other newspapers and websites news outlets, TV, they are basically telling the government line. They will say what needs to be said in order to justify American aggression, in order to convince ordinary skeptical Americans that an attack should be carried out. But what is extraordinary is that despite the hard work carried out by the BBC, by CNN, by Fox News, the New York Times, and so on, people are not convinced. People do not believe them. And I think this is something new, especially in the United States. In Europe, people have been skeptical, have a history of more skepticism. But in the United States, people no longer believe the regime. And Obama has betrayed all those Americans who believed that he would bring about true change in the United States. And when a mainstream official like Obama can no longer be trusted by the vast majority of Americans, despite all the major news outlets supporting an attack on Syria, it shows that the political order in the United States lacks respect and lacks legitimacy among ordinary Americans.
Well, it sure does, Mohammed. We're just about out of time, and any final thought? It really looks like we're heading for another war. This idea of a limited token strike, it just doesn't wash. I mean, you start firing off hundreds of cruise missiles. They're extremely powerful. I think minimally they carry a 1,000-pound warhead. They could be much more powerful than that. You get four destroyers, each with about 300 cruise missiles. There's another one on its way to the region. So that would be five times 300, 1,500 cruise missiles. It's possible they could launch them all. 1,500 cruise missiles, I call that shock and awe.
That is shock and awe, and that's itself a crime against humanity. All those young children who are terrified, they'll be scarred for life. And the Obama is committing crimes against humanity by even threatening the Syrian people. But when the attacks take place, children will be affected for the rest of their life. Those who survive, there'll be those who become orphans, there'll be those who'll be maimed, and the United States will be doing it to help Al-Qaeda. I think ordinary Americans really have to stand up this time and stand up against the U.S. regime and tell it that its acts are illegitimate and that the American government has no legitimacy if it carries out further crimes against ordinary people.
That's exactly true, Mohammed. I wish we had more time. There's so much more to say. I look forward to getting you back, and the turmoil never ends. But I'll just take a moment and remind listeners, tune in over the weekend, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday. We'll sure keep listeners up to date on what's going on in Syria. I see nothing good happening. There may not be an attack for a day or so. We don't know. It won't be announced, but it's coming. It's coming. I could smell and taste it, and it'll have all the horrific effects that Mohammed talked about and that I've written about in so many articles. It's despicable, it's disgusting. It's more major war crimes by the U.S. government. Join us over the weekend.